I want to tell you about our spotlight sponsor. It is iTarget Pro. iTarget Pro is the best. And if you are serious about owning a gun, you have to get serious about being accurate and comfortable with your gun. And the best thing you can do with your gun is have it in your hands and dry fire.
That's boring, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. But you really need to do it. And you can dry fire now by putting this. It's really like a laser bullet that you put in. And you aim it at a target across the room. And it's a dry fire. And it shoots a laser at that target. It picks it up on your iPhone and tells you how accurate you are. It's great. You're not spending any money on ammunition. You're not going to the range. You're doing it in the comfort of your own home. It's a fun game. I mean, your kids can do it with you. I mean, assuming that everybody understands it's a gun. It's iTarget Pro. Use the promo code Glenn, iTargetPro.com. It's a great way to get comfortable with your gun and be a better shooter.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, it's really amazing. We have the R. Kelly trial going on right now. We have to talk about Jeffrey Epstein. This is an amazing story about how he has just gotten away with, I mean, everything but murder, it seems. And HBO's documentary on Michael Jackson. What does this mean for our society? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? We have the ever unpopular John Ziegler joining us in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Do you think he gets up in the morning and says, how can I piss more people off?
It's possible.
It is possible. It is possible. Let me tell you about X Chair. All chairs are not created equal. Those are people that are created equal. These X chairs are far.
So you're an advocate of chair supremacy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to judge a chair, you know, not by the color of its seat, but.
What about the fancy brand name and the expensive price? Is that how you're going to judge
it? Nope.
That's a good way to do it.
Nope.
No?
I'm gonna judge it by how it feels on my butt, on my back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How comfortable it is, how it can adjust to exactly what I want, and now larger seat sizes. what does that say to you?
It says, really? Well, I know what it says. I went through the holidays.
Okay. All right. We don't need to dwell on it as long as we all know. X Chair. You can check them out online. There's a 30-day, no questions asked guarantee of complete satisfaction. I'm telling you, it's a great, great chair for your office, for your home, whatever you need. It's an X Chair. They have new financing options. If you need one, pay as little as $30 a month. It's on sale now for $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. They have the top of the line, and they also have the much more affordable X Basic. xchairbeck.com. Go there, use the promo code Beck, BECK, and you'll also get a free footrest. xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com. Michael Jackson could be guilty as hell, and HBO's Leaving Neverland would still be unfair. Those are the words of John Ziegler. Welcome to the program, John.
Glenn, I'm going to put ever unpopular on my business card.
That's what you need. That's what you need. So, John, I actually, you know, I know this article, when you read it, you ought have thought, yeah, you know, everybody's going to disagree with me on this. But we actually don't. We've watched this. And I think, and I, in reading your article, I think you would agree, most likely these guys are telling the truth. Most likely this guy, Michael Jackson, did this to these kids and many others, but he's not around to defend himself, and we're just presenting one side. This is dangerous.
That's why I wrote the column. However, that column was written a couple of days ago, and I'm not sure I would write the same column today, because I am quite sure that one of the two guys in that HBO quote unquote documentary, Wade Robson, is not telling the truth.
Really?
Let me put it this way. If he is telling the truth, then we might as well throw away the entire judicial system because there is absolutely positively no way for an accused person to defend themselves because the Wade Robson story is on paper is a complete joke. And I purposely went into watching the Neverland movie. I don't want to call it a documentary because it's ridiculously one-sided, even yes. if Jackson is guilty. Let me just say, I hate this subject, Glenn. I hate being the person that has to stand up and say, wait a minute. But no one else wants to do this. And I mean, you said I'm unpopular. That's even with my own wife. I mean, my wife is furious at me on this one. But I'm telling you, the Wade Robson story, my dog in this hunt is not Michael Jackson. I don't care about Michael Jackson. I care about the truth. And I really, really care about the rules we're creating for how we evaluate these kind of stories.
Agreed.
Because that is radically changing in a very dangerous way. Mm-hmm. And if the Wade Robson story is allowed to stand, then I seriously, Glenn, I do not know how a rich, famous person is able to defend themselves against any allegation. Because I have evaluated these kind of stories for years now, and this one is the most inexplicable that I have ever seen.
Why do you say that?
Well, because, I mean, in all seriousness, again, he could be telling the truth, but if he is, then on what basis would any story ever be discredited? I could talk to you for hours about this, but let me just give you a couple of highlights. I mean, here's a guy who, I'm forgetting about the fact that at 12 years old, he testified in a civil complaint that Jackson never did anything to him, and mm-hmm. he was the greatest thing ever. I'm discounting mm-hmm. that, okay? Mm-hmm. He's 12 years old, mm-hmm. and supposedly still being abused. But at 22 years old, as an adult celebrity, okay, people need to understand, he's a celebrity. This yeah. is a guy who allegedly broke up Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake because he had an affair with Britney Spears. Now, right there, that's confidence, folks. That's that is not consistent with what we're told is a sex abuse victim. This is a worldly guy. At 22, in the midst of a massive criminal trial, he is not just a witness for Michael Jackson. He's Michael Jackson's first defense witness. I know Michael Jackson's attorney, Tom Mesereau, very well here in Los Angeles. Tom Mesereau is a brilliant guy. He believes Michael Jackson is innocent. I do not know if he is or not. I'm agnostic on that issue. But as far as Wade Robson, there is no way in hell that Tom Mesereau or Michael Jackson, if he's a criminal mastermind, is going to put Wade Robson on the stand first in his criminal trial if he's abused him for 7 years. And that Tom Mesereau, who has interviewed him vigorously, his family vigorously, is going to put him on the stand first. This is the testimony which was vigorously defending Jackson is only one of 1,000 data points that continue well after the trial and well after Jackson's death that Robson was never abused. After Jackson dies, Robson issues one of the most ebullient pro-Jackson statements I've ever heard anyone give. He's the greatest human being that's ever lived. He writes a chapter in a book eulogizing Michael Jackson. He attends his funeral. It only shifts immediately after when Michael Jackson is dead and Robson loses out on the job to choreograph a Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson show in Las Vegas. And then he sues for millions of dollars. The first time he ever tells a story to anyone. And in the course of that lawsuit, the discovery shows how he created his story. And, you know, even in my column, I don't think I accurately described how that lawsuit got adjudicated. It got adjudicated because of statute of limitations concerns, and that sounds like, oh, the, you know, there was nothing about the merit. That's not really accurate. What really happened is it was statute of limitations concern, and then when he tried to figure out a loophole around the statute of limitations, the judge determined that he had blatantly perjured himself, as proven by emails, and threw out his entire testimony. So now, so
wow.
I mean, so if Wade Robeson is to be believed and accepted in a documentary with zero pushback, I mean, zero skeptical questioning, zero informing the audience in the first hour of some of these basic facts, then I really, honestly, Glenn, I do not know how anyone years later can possibly defend themselves. And again, I don't care about Michael Jackson, and I hate this subject, but come on, people. This was totally, and when you see interviews with this director, Dan Reed, I have never seen anyone as invested in a storyline without facts than this guy. So, I mean, look, could Wade Robeson be telling the truth? I guess so. I guess Jesse Smollett and Christine Ford could too. His story makes Christine Ford and Jesse Smollett look like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
I mean, that's how bad it is. I mean, it's really it's the worst I've ever seen.
Wow. What about the other guy?
Now, James Shavechuk is a different breed of story. And I will fully acknowledge, by the way, both of them are very good. They're very compelling. It's disgusting. It's horrific. It's important to point out that no one seems to want to acknowledge these are two guys who have been entertainers since they were kids. They've been performers. So can we at least consider the possibility that in the Jesse Smollett era that they could be just telling a story? That is certainly possible, but it's much more difficult to destroy Safechuck's story because he didn't do nearly the same number of things. However, he did testify on behalf of Jackson in a civil complaint. He did file apparently a deposition an affidavit saying he was not abused. He did not testify at Jackson's trial. He was about 27 years old at that time, but he also didn't testify against him, and he never told anybody about this until after Jackson was dead, about the actual allegations. So there, when you compare it to Wade Robeson, it's not nearly as easily questionable. And I will fully agree that their telling of the story in Neverland, leaving Neverland, is incredibly compelling, and that's clearly why HBO and the director decided to go with it. But shouldn't there be more than that? I mean, really, shouldn't there be more than that against a man who is dead, a man who was not convicted in court, a man who was never even found liable in a civil case? I mean, to me, the threshold ought to be much higher, Glenn, under those circumstances. This documentary would have been fine if Michael Jackson had been convicted and confessed, but that didn't happen, or if he was still alive to defend himself. That's not the case. Because of those circumstances, I do not believe Leaving Neverland ever should have even aired on HBO, and I think it's an abomination from a documentary standpoint.
Well, it's not a documentary. A documentary should present both sides, so you have some sort of idea. I mean, it is an anti-Michael Jackson movie, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts. They do not ever give anyone a chance to say the other side at all.
Can I give you an example of that with Wade Robeson? And I didn't know this until after it aired. Wade Robeson, during the time of the alleged allegations that he makes against Michael Jackson, which go until he's 14 years old, was dating someone. He was dating a woman for 8 years during his entire teenage years. That person was Michael Jackson's niece, Brandy, who is incredibly credible, intelligent. I've seen interviews with her. She knows he's lying, knows it. Now, how does that make any damn sense? That for 8 years he's dating a girl who's Michael Jackson's niece, who was there with him the whole time, who was having sex with him, who knows him better than anybody during this exact period of time, and they don't even interview her? Don't you think she might have some information, Glenn? I mean, that's not a documentary, as you said. That's a hit job. And again, we should all care about this, not because of Michael Jackson. And I don't want to be, I hate being seen as being, you know, defending supposed pedophiles or Michael Jackson in particular. I despise it. We should care about the truth. And these rules, these new rules are so incredibly dangerous.
Well, I want to ask you to hold on here. I'm going to break for a minute and then we'll come right back. And I want to change this to R. Kelly and this. And even Jeffrey Epstein, here's a guy who clearly on the surface has been doing some really bad stuff. He gets a sweetheart deal in Florida because he's really connected. And now maybe there's a chance that he is going to be looked into because of a social media push. The same thing with R. Kelly. It's a social media push. Is this good or bad? John Ziegler continues with us in just a second. You're never more than 60 seconds away from the program. Stand by. First, let me tell you about Field of Greens. You also never have to have a salad again.
Yes.
You know, you want to be healthy.
Down with Caesar. Down with Caesar.
Amen. Well, not Caesar, because
there's cheese there and croutons.
So it's almost not a salad. If you put some chicken or some steak in a Caesar salad and then just eat around the salad.
Well, then it's just steak.
Well, and croutons.
And cheese.
And cheese.
Okay.
It's a great salad. Not all salads are alike.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you know that what I just said is exactly what your wife and your mother would say. No, that's why you're not having a Caesar salad. Now eat that. If you have to have your fruits and vegetables, and we all know we do, here's a way to get real USDA organic fruits and vegetables. Helps boost your immunity, has antioxidants, prebiotics, probiotics. It's all in one spoonful, and you just put it in whatever you're drinking, and you'll get all of those nutrients. Okay, this is the real stuff. This is not a supplement. This is the real stuff. It's BrickHouseGlen.com. 15% off your first order at BrickHouseGlen.com. It's Field of Greens. We break now for 10 seconds. Station ID, and then back. So, John, here's the thing I think that makes people believe some of this is these big settlements. And, you know, you settle out of court. And quite honestly, that used to be the thing to do because it just isn't worth it. Companies do this all the time. They settle. That's not necessarily an admission of guilt. And so people think that the rich can get away with anything. And you look at Jeffrey, what is it, Epstein or Epstein?
Epstein.
Epstein. You look at Jeffrey Epstein. Here's a guy who had dozens of girls testifying or willing to testify that he had sex with them at underage. He cuts a sweetheart deal. He gets off with nothing. And it's because he's well connected. The average guy would not have the same kind of system acting this way with them.
100% true. Based upon what I know of that story, I would agree with that 1,000%. But what the weird part is, because he's not a celebrity, he's just, you're actually advantaged. Being a celebrity, I think, makes you far more vulnerable than, and being rich, of course, gives you huge advantage. I mean, I have always believed, I covered the Michael Jackson trial as a radio talk show host here in Los Angeles. And before the trial, I presumed Jackson was guilty as hell because of the payoffs. The trial actually produced very limited evidence, which is why I think he was correctly acquitted. That doesn't mean he's innocent. That means that they didn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. But he was very, very vulnerable, largely because of his celebrity and his money. And a payoff to him, let's be fair, isn't the same as a payoff, well, maybe to you, but not to me, because obviously he was super rich at the time. And so that's all needs to be taken into consideration. Now, the R. Kelly situation, I find fascinating because to me, what R. Kelly was doing Doug was taking the Brett Kavanaugh strategy and like multiplying it times 1,000, which is, you know, you got to show you're fighting back as much as possible, and at least some people will believe you. I don't believe R. Kelly, but I think it's, his strategy is interesting that he took in that interview with CBS.
So now you have the same kind of situation with R. Kelly as Michael Jackson, where he says, you know, hey, look, I already beat this rap once. You can't tie me into that. I was cleared of that.
Well, that's not really true. And plus, there's another problem for R. Kelly. There's videotape in this case.
okay, that little detail.
Yeah, and you know, again, I've watched you know, enough shows on R. Kelly to know that there's the evidence is far stronger based on what we currently know than it is against Michael Jackson. But I mean, did you believe his reaction in that CBS interview? I mean,
no.
That felt like acting to me.
No, yeah, it did. No, I didn't buy it at all. But you know, what does that mean? I'm having to judge somebody's acting ability.
But here's why that's important, Glenn. I think this is really important. Going back to this issue of the rules we're creating, let's pretend for a second that R. Kelly is somehow maybe not guilty. I'm not saying that. I'm just putting that out as a theory, right? How is he supposed to defend himself? And I really truly do believe that Brett Kavanaugh has carved out the last path for someone who actually is innocent to defend themselves. Donald Trump wouldn't have stuck by Brett Kavanaugh if he hadn't fiercely attacked the story in his testimony in front of the Senate.
Right.
I mean, and so that's your only option. And what I found interesting was, of course, that many people on social media that I saw, news reporters, were saying, well, you know, Kelly proved himself to be an abuser because he was abusing his interviewer, who was female. Okay, fine. Well, then just tell me, just please. That's all I've ever really asked is, tell me what the rules are. How is an innocent person in this kind of situation supposed to defend themselves? How are they supposed to act? Because frankly, I think Me Too has taken away all of the avenues. I don't know what you're supposed to do, even if you are innocent.
I think that's a great point, John. I would love to see a moment like this on, you know, a cable news broadcast when they're talking about this, where someone says to the host, hey, have you ever had an intern that you didn't abuse in your life? Okay, just of course, and of course they're going to say yes to that. Tell me, if that intern came on TV right now and said that you abused them, what would you say to defend himself? What would you say? What excuse could you possibly come up with? You can't prove where you were every second of every day. You don't have video of yourself every second of every day. And if we're just supposed to believe the accuser, there is no path to defend yourself, even if you are completely innocent. That's not, conviction by documentary and podcast is a really dangerous road to go down.
Amen, Stu. And I just want to know what the rules are. And I also would like those rules to be semi-rational. And
good luck with that.
Is that asking too much? Because we are way beyond that now. And I don't see how we go back. I thought Jesse Smollett might at least tap the brakes, but it clearly did not.
No. And we're going to talk next hour about how it's even getting worse now with Facebook and YouTube and everything else. I would love to see you look into the Jeffrey Epstein case and really do some investigating on that. If you do, let me know, John. And we'll follow,
Captain.
we follow you as well. Individual One is the name of his podcast, freespeechbroadcasting.com, and follow him on Twitter at Zygmunt Freud.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right, Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe, just a great safe. And you know what? I'm not saying that you should do this because this is wrong. Okay.
Okay.
It also provides a great 20 minutes when your boss isn't around of watching the videos on their website. I'm just saying.
You seem to be telling people to go watch them blow up safes and other people's safes and then.
On your own time, not in your boss's time.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, if you're at work, the last thing I want you to do is to go over there and just watch the videos and screw off and not do, you know, that meaningless crap that, you know, your boss is having you do.
But if you own the company, like you, you're just able to do it whenever you want.
Yes, but none of the employees. I'm doing it for research.
Oh, okay.
Great videos. They'll show you all the testing that they do on Liberty Safes that are just so fun. Get your Liberty Safe now at Cabela's on sale or at libertysafe.com.
Go to blazetv.com. Join Blaze TV. Get all the shows that you know and love at blazetv.com/Beck. The promo code is Beck.
That's me. Now for something completely different. I have the honor to introduce you to one of the best people I know and a hard worker. His name is Mike Rowe. The Way I Heard It with Mike Rowe. This is a great podcast that gives a unique take on American history. He explores everything from pop culture to politics, athletes to actors, history to Hollywood. Each episode is 10 minutes or less about a famous person or an event that you know, filled with surprising facts that you likely didn't know until Mr. Smarty Pants, Mike Rowe, tells you about it. It's called The Way I Heard It. It's hosted by the one and only Mike Rowe, and he shares stories for, and I quote, the curious mind with a short attention span. The Way I Heard It, America's number one short form podcast. Go to microw.com/podcast and listen and subscribe to The Way I Heard It. That's MikeRowe.com/podcast. That's microw.com/podcast. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Welcome to Thursday. Have a great show lined up for you, probably tomorrow or the next day, but we're dealing with this one today, and Pat Gray is with us now. Hello, Pat.
Oh, I came on the wrong day.
He came on the wrong day. Yeah. So you just heard John Ziegler, who is, I think he gets up every day and is like, how could I be more unpopular?
What can I take the opposite point of view on today?
Right. And he said, yeah. I'm not defending Michael Jackson. I have a problem with this HBO documentary that really didn't address the other side.
Although it did. It kind of did.
A little bit.
He didn't spend a lot of time with it, but both of them admitted, lying under oath. They showed a lot of the clips of these of people who were taking them apart online. They did sort of cover the other side of it. I mean, they didn't do it extensively, and it happened toward the end.
They tipped the hat. They tipped their hat.
Yes. I disagree with Ziegler on a couple of things. Robson explained pretty much everything that Ziegler talked about. He went on to, a lot of fame and fortune with NSYNC and Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that the fact that he had his way with Britney Spears proves that he was totally together, because,
this would be a signal that you're not together.
I know.
You're breaking up somebody else's marriage.
Right. It's the Kevin Federline law, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Plus, as both of them said, neither one of them considered it abuse at the time. When they were in the relationship, they didn't consider it abuse. And then in their teenage years, they hadn't really worked through it yet.
Yeah. And when you are suffering through things, sometimes you pour yourself into work and you become successful in spite.
That happens a lot.
Right. It happened with me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what drove me was just concentrate on this. Just concentrate on this. Concentrate on this.
You would agree to the idea, just generally speaking, about there's a disturbing trend of you get enough retweets and the person's guilty.
Absolutely.
And that is a
yes. And I will admit, I kind of fell into that trap on this documentary because I don't know that Michael Jackson 100% is guilty. But I'm about 99.5% believe in it.
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't, but there is some evidence. He openly slept with young boys.
Right.
Openly, over and over and over.
What really hurts him is, I had an amusement park. I openly slept with young boys. And, by the way, I had pornos and
their fingerprints
and
is on.
And the kids' fingerprints are on it.
That's a bad
found
sign.
Found in my closet.
And that's all old. That has nothing to do with the documentary, right?
Those are old things.
But it does bring it back to the top of your mind a little bit.
Jordy.
I'd forgotten about some of that evidence.
Jordy Chandler also drew, the evidence of his man unit. It was the exact same markings that the photographs had. How did that happen? Is he psychic?
Just luck.
Jordy.
Well, he lucked out. It looked like Abraham Lincoln. And so he lucked out on that.
Sometimes when I go to the airport, I just guess at my QR code and draw one. And it comes out. I get on the right flight, right seat.
Yeah. I'm sure it happens. Yeah. So
it does seem like there's a lot there on that one. And I think that's what makes me more scared of this, is because I think most of these early examples that we could have, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, there's so much against him, and there's legitimate evidence outside of just a documentary that shows, you know, like it looks pretty bad. And obviously Cosby and Epstein both either pled guilty or convicted. But it's almost worse that it starts that way, because at some point we're just going to start believing this is an okay way to make these decisions. And I think we're almost there already.
Isn't this just the institutionalization of Saul Alinsky tactics? I mean, look what they did to me. Okay. You and I both know there was a book that came out, said that I
multiple books.
Yeah, multiple books. Mm-hmm. Said one said that I killed a girl, raped and killed her. one said that I went to jail in the 1980s or 90s.
Your DeLorean drunk.
And I was so drunk I was always late for work, and one
Not
day
true.
I think Pat had to go bail me out or whatever it was. What was the other one? They're just horrible, horrible things. Absolutely untrue. Published. Mm-hmm. Published.
And what do you do?
Right. So what am I do? I could have sued him, but that would have made that book sell more than five copies, which I think it sold about three, mm-hmm. and the author bought those three. Mm-hmm. And so they're already doing this. Look at what they did at Fox. Now, I helped by saying things like, you know, Barack Obama, I think he has a problem with race. Well, I do believe that. However, that was just handing them something easy to take and turn into something ugly.
Plus, who knew that when you accuse somebody of racism, it makes you a racist?
Yeah, never that was before a new in history.
Didn't know that before. That was at that time.
That's amazing.
That was new.
I can't think of any examples.
And it
since.
Doesn't apply anymore. It was just for a short time only, for a limited time only. Mm-hmm. That was your special offer.
Right now, you can now you can accuse the president of being a racist, and it's not a problem.
And
you're
actually,
a hero.
You get in trouble if you don't accuse him of being a racist.
Yes.
You
so
seriously,
totally
you're now
confused.
A racist if you don't accuse the president of being a racist. That's a hell of a turn.
It is.
So I'll probably learn that right as this one exits, and I'll be like, you know what? I think he is a racist. And then the next guy will be in, and you'll be like, wait, we flip back again? I don't know what to do.
But yeah, you're a target, and this happens. I mean, look, it happens to a lot of people who are celebrities or well-known. I mean, this is not new. I think there's a level of evidence now that is so low. It's like almost like if someone spends a lot of time. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes the other way too. Like, I mean, Making a Murderer and Serial are two documentaries or podcasts that are saying basically this person's not guilty. You should believe that he's not guilty. And it may be true, but again, it's a relatively one-sided case. This is what documentaries are. People leave things out. They say things that aren't true. And now, you know, there's a whole movement of people who want these people out of prison, or they want other people in prison. And again, like, that is why we have a freaking legal system. When it doesn't work, it's good that people shine light on it. And I think that's positive.
Yeah.
But it's still, we have to back up and say, wait a minute, there has to be this additional process that occurs inside our legal, you know, construct. If you don't have that, it's not real. And we can all sit here and say, well, we think R. Kelly is guilty. And, you know, that's my impression as well.
Are you going to take his livelihood away? Are you going to ban him?
You shouldn't.
I mean, think of that.
Not based on allegations.
That's exactly what the left has done now to anyone who disagrees with them. If you supported, traditional marriage 10 years ago, you're running a company. Doesn't matter what
they'll destroy you.
They will destroy you, and you won't be able to make money. The same thing. You have a contrary opinion. We have somebody on who I disagree with. I'm pro vaccination, but here's a guy who made a movie about the facts on vaccination as he understands them. He is being banned now. He's been dropped by Amazon and YouTube.
And is he saying vaccines are dangerous?
Yes.
Yeah. Still.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't agree with that. I don't want to hold this guy up or this movie up and say, hey, everybody should watch this. I think this is true. I don't. But he should have the right to say it.
They're not doing that to Jim Carrey, who was on that bandwagon for years with Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy, RFK
Jr. And he still
Jr.
has a career. So if you're on the left, you're usually insulated. Is this guy right wing?
No, I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I just know this. that people are, their lives are being destroyed without a court of law.
And I don't think you should ban music based on allegations. Like, should Michael Jackson's music be pulled off the air in New Zealand and wherever else they're doing this? No.
Yeah. No.
No. Unfortunately, I haven't seen much of that happening in America yet.
I know. Have you seen it? R. Kelly, yes.
With R. Kelly, yeah, but not Michael Jackson.
I've not seen it yet with Michael Jackson. Although, that's, you know, we're in
the same
week
it's a lot easier to take R. Kelly's music off the air than it is
one, it's one song, right?
It's like, I believe I can fly. Oh, no. Can we exist without that song? It'll be tough.
R. Kelly has has sold a lot of records.
I know he has to because he's made, I mean, he lives quite the high life.
Apparently he does.
And he's bought some women. And so you got to have some money to do that. Right.
Well, when you say bought women.
Well, he says their parents sold him to him, sold the two girls to him. So
this is quite a run, though.
So is bought, really. It's just an exchange.
Okay, so 1993 album, mm-hmm. 6 times platinum. Next one,
really?
Next one, 5 times platinum. Next one, 8 times platinum. Next one, 4 times platinum. Again, platinum. Then 2 times platinum. Then 3 times platinum. Again, platinum. Another platinum. Another platinum.
That's impressive.
That is a run there.
Yeah, I mean, that is.
I mean, look at this. Is chart position for his albums. 2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-1-1-4. 6-5-4. I mean, that is a hell of a run. That's from 1993 to 2013. It's a 20-year run.
That's crazy.
Wow. Again, we may not be the target demographic.
You think?
I think so.
You think?
But that's a hell of a run.
I'm not a 13-year-old black girl, but...
Yeah.
So I may not be the target.
Although I read in a book you killed one, which is incredible.
Right. Well, I raped and killed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's wrong. Thank you, Pat.
Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, available anywhere. Podcasts are also available.
By the way, our podcast is available the same places. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, please do. You can go to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate and review. It helps other people find the show. But it's a great podcast. And this weekend, who do we have on? Brad Meltzer, right?
Meltzer was last weekend. I think was Bob Goff is coming up this weekend. Is it Bob Goff this weekend? Bob Goff weekend.
Goff.
He's a great guy.
Great.
Great guy.
This is a great podcast you don't want to miss this weekend. Just go wherever you find podcasts and make sure you subscribe to the Glenn Beck podcast. All right. Simply Safe Home Security, a company that I really, truly admire. Love these guys. Started with a young guy who was just trying to help his friend stop some burglars for stealing their stuff in the neighborhood. And now that has turned into completely modernizing and revolutionizing the entire security industry. They're exploding because they don't do a couple of things. They don't treat you like an idiot. They don't gouge your eyes out. They have a fair price for a great product. They don't tie you to a contract. Simply Safe is committed 110% to giving you a great product that will help you fear less in your home or in your place of business. Simply Safe protects your home 24/7 with no hidden fees or contracts. And they now do this for over 3 million homes all across the country. But they still run it like a small company. They still have the same values, the same people. The system is wireless. It's practically invisible in your home. And it's just the best. With just a few clicks, you'll see how good it is to fear less in your home. It is simplysafebeck.com. See, go to the website, scroll down and see how much money you'll save just in the first 8-9 months. It's simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. We have some interesting news from Facebook that we want to get to, and freedom of speech, but also Google is back in the news. Unequal pay.
Finally stepping up on equal pay.
Yeah, finally doing it.
And, you know, they've been horrible on this issue for a long time. They're being investigated. This has been bad for Google. Yeah. And so they conducted a study to determine whether the company was underpaying women and members of minority groups. And they came back with a study. It found, to the surprise of just about everyone, that men were paid less money than women for doing similar work. What? Wait a minute. I don't. The study actually disproportionately led to pay raises for the thousands of men, which is hilarious because now that's being seen as sexist. So they were paying them less the whole time. They gave them raises to make it equal. And now they're saying, why'd you give all the raises to men? Well, because they were the ones earning less. But now that's being seen as sexist. I mean, it's hilarious how this stuff happens.
There's just no way for this just to continue. This is why, kids, this is why socialism always ends in tyranny. Because once you stop connecting to verifiable facts, once you stop using reason and you start using feelings, it just all starts to spiral apart.
Yeah.
The center won't hold. There's just not enough there to hold it together. And so a strong man has to come in and say, this is the way it is.
It's true. And, you know, we talk about a lot of people doing a lot of wrong things and a lot of groups doing a lot of wrong things and a lot of human characteristics that are negative and to blame, right? Parents and you know, lack of faith. And there's a lot of that. We don't give enough blame to feelings. Feelings are such a freaking problem. Get rid of your feelings on these issues. It's everyone is like so emotional and they're making decisions based on, well, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. And I don't just say the truth. Go into something honestly, base it on facts. And I know we've talked about this 100 times and it's true. Conservatives a lot of times lose these battles because they don't address feelings enough. I think that's true, but it's sad, and it deserves to be called out.
Well,
feelings are not how you make these decisions.
I agree with you 100%. With that being said, there is a place for feelings, and because that is our human side. Our human side is compassion and empathy. So you don't want to kill feelings. That feelings do not override facts. So,
but that's exactly what they do.
I know.
It's like that's what they're designed to do, right? They are.
No, they're designed to balance you.
Maybe. I think, a feeling of fear is really designed, you know, if you look at it from an evolutionary biologist sort of sense, it's at the fight or flight, right? Like, you're supposed to make decisions with that part of your brain before you have the facts. If a guy is rushing at you with a knife, you don't want to say, well, wait a minute, first of all, is that an actual knife or a prop knife? Second of all, what beef could he possibly have with me? I don't know. I can't really think about any. Maybe I should just stay here and wait and talk to him. Right?
Right.
Like, it's supposed to make a decision before facts. And that's good for that scenario. It's not good for, well, the inequality of pay between men and women should be addressed. Well, that you might feel that way, but when you find out it's not true.
So can we continue this conversation at the top of the hour? Because I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with what you say. I think you're leaving out one thing, and it's where we lose on socialism. Socialism doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
All driven by feeling, but until we connect with that feeling, we will not destroy it.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Let me tell you about realestateagentsitrust.com.
Yeah, please do. Tell me.
Realestateagentsitrust.com is a real estate matchmaking service, really.
So you date real estate agents.
No,
that sounds great.
It takes you and puts you into the car with somebody who has your values, somebody who likes the show, listens to the show every day, somebody who's hand-selected by my team, somebody who knows your area, somebody who has a great track record of sales, the best salespeople in that area. So you write to us at realestateagentsitrust.com, say, hey, I live here. I'm looking for a real estate agent to buy a house or sell a house in this area. And we turn around usually within the first hour and get you somebody right away. And then you can interview them. These people have a great track record. They're going to get your home sold on time for the most amount of money. Now is the time to sell your house. Now is also the time to buy a house. Either way, realestateagentsitrust.com. Do it now, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to finish a conversation Stu and I were having a few minutes ago about feelings versus facts. We have to address feelings, but we also have to address facts. And right now, we're not doing it. And it is the balance between the two that I think the country is starving for. And we begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
In 60 seconds, we're right back into the show. We want to tell you our sponsor this half hour is Relief Factor. If you're in pain, Relief Factor can help you in tremendous amounts.
You always talk about, you know, your experience with Relief Factor, but it's interesting that there are so many people who work here that started Relief Factor and said it was working, and you didn't listen to any of them.
Yeah.
You know, Sarah Gonzalez is one of them. She had a car accident, mm-hmm. a pretty bad car accident a few years ago. She's the host of The News and Why It Matters, if you don't happen to know that. And she had a lot of pain and was dealing with it over a long period of time. And when you talk to her about it, she kind of seems like she had almost got to that point where this is just the rest of my life. This is how it's always going to mm-hmm. be. I'm always going to be in pain from this one moment where I got in a car, mm-hmm. a terrible car accident. And then she started taking Relief Factor and things really turned around for her. It happened to a lot of people who worked here. And, you know, when you see it happen, I think, 70% mm-hmm. of people who buy it continue to buy it because it's working for them. And we've seen evidence of that here.
Yeah. Remind me why I thought it didn't work for me, why I didn't listen to them, because I thought it's not going to work for me. And I have a good reason for it. But it did work for me. 70% of the people who just try it for 3 weeks, their quick start, turn around and order more month after month after month, just like I do. I've been taking it now for over a year. Three times a day, and it works. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. So, Stu, state your case again on facts, and I'm in complete agreement with you. I just think maybe we disagree, perhaps on nuance.
Yeah, my basic thesis here is that we blame a lot of things for the problems we have in our society. Things like, you know, different ideologies, people who maybe don't have enough information, people who, have human characteristics that are flawed in some way. But the one we don't give enough blame to are feelings. We don't give enough blame to the idea that emotion and feelings consistently overwhelm actual facts in our society. It's one of the reasons I became a conservative a very long time ago is because I loved the idea that conservatives were the ones who prioritize facts over emotion. And that played out for a very long time. I think it still does play out to some extent. But just the human species is so overwhelmed by emotion. And one of the reasons, if you read Thinking Fast and Slow, it talks about basically two things that are going on in your brain. One is this immediate action, right? So if someone's running at you with a knife, you don't sit there and think and contemplate what was that person's motivations. They don't seem like they're very happy with me. Is that a real knife? What are they doing? And then you get stabbed. You have the thinking fast part of your brain that immediately reacts without thinking at all. It just goes fight or flight, you know, get out of there. And then you have the other side. In places like policy and the way you design a country and individual rights and, you know, adhering to the Constitution, all of those things are all supposed to be exclusively
slow.
Slow. That second part of your brain that's taking the time to contemplate all the positives and negatives, the rational arguments. And we use the other side of our brain, that emotional, passionate side, which is great for some things. It's great for family. It's great for movies. It's great. It's why people care about music, right? I mean, it's because that part of you is real. And it's great in those moments. It was designed for those moments where you might die you're a caveman, you've got a club, do I hit the saber-toothed tiger with the club or not? That's what it's designed for.
All right, so the problem is, and I agree with everything you just said, the problem is that it's not, the blame is not on thinking fast or thinking slow. That's neither one of those are the problem or the cure. The problem is we're not doing both. It's a bird can't fly with only one wing. I don't want to live in a world without any liberals because art and everything else will really suck. Really, really suck. Music will suck. Television and movies will suck. Okay? I don't want to live in that. But I also don't want to live in a world. I always bring this back to a theater. I want all the liberals on stage because you're going to do a show and it's going to be great and it's going to be wonderful. We're going to pack the house every night and everybody's going to love it and you'll piss some people off, but it'll generally be great. However, get away from the box office, because if you get into the accounting and the box office, we're going to be broke. I want all the conservatives, all the slow thinkers, I want them in the front of the house, your back of the house, okay? We need each other.
And to be clear, because of the title of that book, it comes off as strange. Slow thinkers doesn't mean they're slow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It means that you take your time and consider.
Well, let me give you an example of how it works in reverse, mm-hmm. okay? Everybody thinks that the atomic bomb, how this is sold to us is that we just bombed Japan because we had this bomb and we couldn't wait to use it. And we just dropped it on them because, well, they're yellow mongrels. Mm-hmm. And so we got to kill them all.
Right. That was the theory of the time in some of the propaganda. We've played it before.
Yes. You know. Yes. However, that's the exact opposite of the people who designed the bomb. Mm-hmm. The bomb was designed with very slow thinking. And as they got closer and closer to perfection of the bomb, they all thought, I don't know if we should do this. And so they went to the president and they said, I don't think we should do this. And they slowed thinking down even more and said, let's count the number of people that we think will die if we don't use the bomb and the number of people that will die if we do use the bomb. And let's not just count our side. Let's count the Japanese as well. That's how that decision was made. It was not like, oh, we got a new bomb. Let's kill those yellow bastards. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. We knew what we had, and we used slow thinking. But they're accusing us of only using fast thinking. Okay? Now, the left loves fast thinking, because fast thinking gets them everywhere.
Yeah.
Because the facts are not on their side.
And they want the fast thinking. A perfect example of this, and you'll recognize it immediately. After every mass shooting, what do?
Guns.
Guns, 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 guns. And immediately. Why? Because if you're thinking slow, and again, that means over a long period of time where you think out every option and what these things mean, you come to the conclusion, well, you look at the stats, the violence is dropping, these are very rare incidents. There's all the arguments that you hear on talk radio in the weeks after a mass shooting. Those are arguments that are not emotional. They're based on fact. And this is why you hear this every other time. 1 year anniversary of X shooting. You know, we thought we were going to get this done this time and nothing happened. It's like, well, no, you thought you were to get this done because you want to heighten the emotion of the incident. You want people's emotion to overwhelm their factual thinking. And then you can get your thing done. And once it's done, it's in place and you're done with the problem.
Okay. I want to explain this really simply in a different way. And then we're going to take a 1 minute break and I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you it in action. Okay. If you want to win, if you want to change the game, you have to change the way we present ourselves. All right. I want you to think of that theater idea that I just gave you, that all the liberals are on the stage doing a great show. Okay. And we know that. We know that generally speaking, arts and entertainment generally lean left. Okay. There's mm-hmm. there's something, I don't know what it is, but that's what happens.
In touch with their emotions.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, mathematics and business people lean right. Again, generally speaking. So we know that the left is attracted to emotion. The right is attracted to facts. Fast thinking on the stage, back of house, slow thinking. We also know for a theater to work, it has to have both. So we need each other. But what are we doing? What we're doing is the left will say, here's a problem, and immediately fast thinking, we have to help them. We have to help them. We have to do whatever we can to help them. Help them, help them, help them. Then they usually skip over the math. You're hearing this now with the new Green Deal where they'll say, well, it doesn't matter. Does it matter how much it costs? Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
That's just a benefit analysis, right. Not a cost benefit analysis.
Right. We have to know what it's going to cost because we need to know, is that the best use of our money and our resources to help that problem? Or are there other problems that we can really impact for the same amount of money? And is there any other way we can help those people without some big government program? So once you do the math, remember, front of the house, the stage, they're telling you the story and everybody's saying we got to help them, which is good and natural. Then they will tell you, don't pay attention to the people, you know, in the front of the house, because they're just evil money grubbers and they don't really care about what we care here on the stage. And so they convince people not to do the math. If the audience does the math, you have a moral case against socialism. You have a moral case against what they're preaching on the stage. And it kind of feels bad. Now, let me reverse it. Let's say you're standing in the lobby. The show hasn't started yet. And you find out about some big crisis. The bean counters, the right, they're going to say, you know what? We got a real problem here. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. My gosh, the numbers are showing us that, well, what we're doing right now is going to eventually go into this direction and it's just going to crash and we really shouldn't help, without really engaging on the emotional level. And so everybody's like, I don't care. What are they even talking about? I don't care. Then they go into the theater and they hear the emotional plea and they say, that makes me feel good. I want to help. These bean counters, they're heartless. But if you order it correctly, where you talk about the heart and the emotion, then you do the math, then you have a moral case for capitalism. Not the only case you can make on socialism is a feeling case of socialism. A moral case. We say an economic case. No, a moral case for capitalism. And let me show you this in action and how we should be arguing when we come back in 1 minute.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
America, you need to get your financial house in order right now with American Financing. It only takes a 10-minute call to get started. You need to get your financial house in order. You need to refinance if you have an adjustable rate. Or if you have high interest credit cards, refinance, dump those credit cards into there, then don't spend money on credit cards, but get that high interest rate. The interest rates are only going to get higher and it is going to cause real problems. And if they go lower like they are around the rest of the world, the trillions of dollars now that governments have loaned out at less than zero interest rates is about, I think it's like $9 trillion. How are they going to pay that back? Especially if the economy isn't growing. They're not going to be able to return that. So, I mean, it's just all kind of, they've been playing games because we got to do something. Here's what you have to do. Do the facts. Make sure that you don't take out more money in a loan than you can afford. Make sure you have the right loan. Make sure you have a locked in interest rate and do it with people that have credibility and are not taking money from the banks if they jam you into a certain loan. AmericanFinancing.net. I want you to call them now. They're the only people that I have done business with in the financial world on mortgages in my entire career. And I won't take another client. I know these people. I trust them. And I've seen the difference between what they went through in the financial crash in 08 and what others went through. AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net, 800-906-2440. We break for 10 seconds, station ID. All right. Let's take the border issue. We look at the border issue and we see the facts. We see the facts that more crime. We see the facts of people who are citizens who are losing their children. We see the fact of what it means to our economy, not just the job thing, but also what it means to our economy with all the free stuff that we're giving illegal aliens now. Okay? It's really crippling us. We see these people coming that want to overturn America, coming with ill intent in America, and changing us fundamentally. Now, a lot of those things have real emotions attached to them, but we're not good at talking about that. We're just not good at it. When I went down to the border, I told you about how they were keeping kids in cages. Media didn't want to hear about it. But we were so wound up in the don't talk about them, don't humanize this, because then people will feel bad for them. And what are you doing? You're helping the border people. No, no. I'm speaking the language, the heart language of probably 70% of the country. 70% of the country feels first. And on talk radio, we don't feel first, but most people do. Donald Trump understands this. Feel first. Now, conservatives should feel first, then pause and enter into slow thinking. I want to show you a guy who I think is a fast and slow thinker, Crenshaw. Listen to him yesterday talking about the border.
Been a lot of red herrings that have been thrown out there to argue these points. Drugs like fentanyl come through points of entry. Yes, we know. You would agree with that, right?
Yes.
Does that have anything to do with the conversation about whether we need barriers between points of entry?
It does not, because it's not an either or.
There's always the conversation about we just need more technology, because then the border agents can just chase people around. And we see, because we can sense them coming through. Is that the only solution, or do you need that plus barriers plus personnel?
We need all three. We also need the ability to detain and remove when there's no legal right to stay.
There's a point often made that the border crossings are the lowest in years. We had about 400,000 last year, although that's quickly on the rise, as you've noted, 76,000 just this last month. The point is often made that because it's lower than in the year 2000, that there's no crisis. Is that accurate? Is 400,000 a year a low number?
Sir, it's not. But again, if I could, respectfully, it's because of the flow. It's because these are families. It's because these are children. That is why it's a crisis. It's a terrible, horrific journey that they undertake.
And let's get to that. As these arguments are made against points that, frankly, we're not even making, you mentioned the children and why that's the nexus of this crisis. Why does that happen? Is it because of our asylum laws? Is it because of the fact that if you bring a child across the border, well, and I think as you mentioned this before, if you bring a child with you, it's your ticket into the United States. All you have to do is claim asylum. Would you agree that our asylum process is completely taken advantage of?
Yes, sir.
Would you agree that if we were to put more resources at points of entry so that we could humanely bring people in and hear their asylum case, but not let them loose into the country, would that dramatically reduce these illegal crossings as well? Would that be part of the solution as well to reform the actual asylum process?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this was cut, and I didn't hear the cut. He danced around this, but what he said before is important. This is all slow thinking. We're talking about the number of drugs, number of guns, number of gangs, number of people coming in, the children. Okay, now he gets to the children. But what he had said was this. Now, this speaks to the heart. Nobody tell me what he was really talking about tomorrow. Okay, tell me what he was talking about tomorrow. Let me tell you this story. He said, you know, there's some rightful anger about family separation, but unfortunately it's myopic because nobody even talks about the other issues that we might have when it comes to our humanity. There was a young woman in my office yesterday. She's from Mexico. She's about 18 years old. She was taken across our border, kidnapped about 5 years ago. They were turned back twice by our border patrol. On the third attempt, they made it through, and she was brought to New York City where she was raped 30 times a day for 5 years. Tell me which one you're going to remember tomorrow. The number of people coming across the border or that story? Look at my own staff cut that great argument, all intellectual, and left on the table heart. We've got to get into the front of the theater. Fast thinking, then slow thinking. We're doing it the opposite way, and you will never defeat it unless you think fast first.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right. Let me tell you about FilterBuy. This is something you can do to maintain your home, and I'm really bad at all of these things. FilterBuy.com. The thing I like about them is the filters just show up. Presto, I'm done.
I like it. It's not thinking fast or slow. It's thinking once.
Amen.
You think one time, and then the filters show up at the right time all the time.
Yeah, and then all you have to do is just go up and put it into the filter. Take the other one, throw it away. That's it. You've done so much to help your HVAC, your heating and air conditioning unit, man. When those filters are clogged, it takes so much energy and so much strain on those HVAC systems that it causes wear and tear beyond your understanding. Also, you're breathing in crappy air. Go right now to filterby.com. That's filterby.com.
A few podcasts to listen to. How about this one? Glenn Beck Program, Pat Gray Unleashed, The News and Why It Matters, and Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. All available wherever you get your podcasts.
Today we've been talking about fast thinking and slow thinking. The fast thinking is the emotional. We got to do something. And that is normal, and it is valuable, really valuable. You know, when people get into the normalcy bias, they die. The people who tried to make an airplane flying into the World Trade Center into something normal, which is also normal, it's called the normalcy bias. Those people who said, you know what, I've got to first go turn off the lights in my office, they died. The people who reacted normally, not necessarily rationally, normally, saying, we got to get out of here, they lived. So fast thinking is really important, but slow thinking, looking at the facts, has to be coupled with it. Like I said, you know, if all the liberals are doing the show on stage, which they're best at, and the theater is being run by a bunch of bean counters who are slow thinkers, who are generally on the right, that's important. We need each other. We have to have each other. Otherwise, we're going to have great shows and no money, or lots of money and no shows. So we need each other. Fast thinking and slow thinking must be coupled. Slow thinking requires differing opinions. And I want to talk to you about something. I want to talk to you here about vaccinations. But I do not want to get into the vaccination thing. I am a big believer in vaccinations. A lot of people aren't. Fine. That's a difference in opinion. But we have entered a place. Adam Schiff has come out and said that he believes that we should silence the government, Google, YouTube, Facebook, and all of these, all of Amazon should restrict anti-vaxxers, if you will. Any information that does not fall into line with what the government studies show on vaccinations. That's extremely dangerous. One of the guys who has put together a documentary called Vaxxed is Del Bigtree. He's one of the preeminent voices of the vaccine risk awareness movement all around the world. He's a founder of the nonprofit, the Informed Consent Action Network, and he is one of the first to be banned. Welcome to the program, Del.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thank you for having me, and thank you for discussing this very important issue.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you, Del, about what happens. I mean, first of all, what you were told and how this is impacting you and the voices of reasonable people. And forget it, even unreasonable people. Just affecting the voices of anybody who believes differently than the federal government.
Well, we've seen this throughout history. I mean, every time, you know, a government really begins to fail, it starts to use coercion and then bullying. Then ultimately, I believe this is book burning. This is a fear that the information that is against the perspective of the government, if it's out there, it's dangerous. And oftentimes when we look out, you know, through history, governments start seeing themselves as the victim against, you know, other information. Or in my case, I would say truth. You know, I made a documentary about a whistleblower at the CDC that came forward and said that they had committed scientific fraud on the MMR autism study and that they knew that vaccine, the MMR vaccine, could be causally linked to autism in that study, and they covered it up and hid it from the people. It wasn't my opinion. I made a documentary. I put people in front of a camera. I let them speak their truth. Dr. William Thompson still works at the CDC. He is still protected by whistleblower status. So how is it that that is misinformation, which is what this is being called? So, yeah, censorship at Amazon. They pulled all, you know, we were on Amazon Prime. Anybody could watch it. You could stream it. And now it's been pulled. And, you know, I think that that's a dangerous step when the government starts getting involved. Look, we know Amazon is a private company. They can do what they want. But when government officials start pressuring private companies and industries to do their bidding or to censor people, then you're moving into a very, very dangerous place. I mean, it may not be dangerous in China or Iran, but here in America, where we're supposed to have freedom of speech, that is shocking and terrifying.
So, Del, then, what are you going to do about this? What is your recourse?
Well, my recourse is to continue doing what I've been doing for the last 3 years, which is continuing to investigate our government, our health agencies. I've won 2 lawsuits against the Health Agency of America. I've won a lawsuit against the National Institute of Health. I won a lawsuit against Health and Human Services, proving that they are not doing the safety research demanded by the laws of this country when it comes to vaccines. Also, just so you know, I think that the DVD sales of Vax have gone through the roof. We're rating higher than we ever have because people in America and around the world still have blood pumping through their veins. And when they're told they can't look at something, they become curious. I mean, this is what happened with the film in the beginning. We got kicked out of Tribeca Film Festival after having been accepted. And then Robert De Niro came out and defended the film. And even after Robert De Niro defending the film, the pharmaceutical sponsor of Tribeca, the Sloan Foundation, ended up pushing us out. And there was nothing Robert De Niro could do. That censorship drove more curiosity and made Vaxxed one of the biggest movies on vaccine risk around the world. There's been bomb threats in theaters around the world where Vaxxed has tried to be screened. So obviously there's something in this movie that, you know, governments do not want you to see, that the pharmaceutical industry do not want you to see. And that curiosity is driving. We're going to have the biggest sales this month than we've had in the last 3 years since we first, you know, toured with it in 2016.
Then the argument on the other side would be, then we're doing you a favor.
They are doing us a favor, but they're not doing the Constitution a favor, and they're not doing a favor for the future of America. I'm not worried about sales of my film. That's not what this is about. We are talking about censorship. We are talking about, in this country right now, we are taking away, there's multiple states, there's a push by the federal government, both a congressional hearing and a Senate hearing, to take your right to choose what's injected into your children away. We're seeing it in states all across the country, to take your ability to opt out of this vaccine program away. Let's take vaccines out of this discussion, Glenn. We are talking about turning our children into government property of the United States government, meaning the government overrides your decision as a parent. They can inject your child with whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. When we look back at history in Nazi Germany and China, how do we think that it would be intelligent to give our government control of our bodies? And by the way, it's not going to end with children. There's a policy called Healthy People 2020 that Health and Human Services put together, which is a forced vaccination program for every adult in America. So children are only the beginning. If we step onto this slippery slope, we are talking about not controlling our bodies, not having the right to say, I don't know what's in that shot you're about to give me. I don't want it. I don't want my child to have it. Is it really outrageous or preposterous to think that we shouldn't have the right to stop injections coming into our own bodies from a government agency?
When it comes to things, and see, this is where I may disagree with you on vaccines, but I am really torn, and I'm in your favor when it comes to choosing yourself. But I am torn because we do have a social contract with each other for things like polio. I mean, we got rid of polio. Now it's coming back. It's because people are saying, I don't want that. Well, okay, does that affect me and my children as well? I mean, I don't want to have leper colonies where the people who don't have the vaccine have to go off and be in a leper colony. I also don't want a country where they're telling me I have to have this. I mean, I have to have this RFID chip put in me because it makes for, you know, commerce, and it makes them able to track me. It's for my safety. You know, they put this chip in. Now the doctor can monitor my heart and everything else. I don't want any of that stuff. And you have right to say no. It is your body.
That's absolutely right. And I want to correct one statement. Polio is not coming back. You made that statement. There's no polio in America. And the only cases of polio around the world right now are vaccine strain polio. They're being caused by the vaccination program in third world countries. Those are the facts. What we are talking about, though, is measles. And perhaps that's what you meant, was they're saying that measles is coming back. And that's not true either. Actually, when you look at the scientific definition of eradication, that they accept that there will still be swings of measles outbreaks up to like a couple thousand is still inside of considering it to have been eradicated. So a couple hundred people with measles is acceptable. It sits within the realm of still eradicated. But the point I think that you're trying to make is that, is there a danger to vaccines? And I know you don't want to really get into this conversation. And anyone that really wants to get into that, they can watch the talk show I do every week called The High Wire. I'll be on at 11 a.m. today. Every Thursday I go on in Pacific time, and I discuss exactly that. But the numbers aren't real, Glenn. We're being lied to about how the numbers work. The safety of vaccines is what I want to talk about. I mean, in the end, we can talk about infectious disease, which is all the CDC wants to discuss, is we've eradicated measles. But if we've eradicated measles and caused one of the greatest autoimmune disease crises of our time, neurological disorders through the roof, when we were getting 10 vaccines in the 1980s, Glenn, we had 12.8% chronic illness in our children. Now that we give 72 vaccines by the time you're 18, that rate has gone up to 54% of America's children have a chronic illness, either an autoimmune disease or a neurological disorder. That is a crisis of astronomical proportions. In the same point, in 1960, you had a death rate of measles of 1 in 10,000. That's a zero. That's a zero. That's a tiny fraction. At the same time, your rate of autism was 1 in 10,000. That means 400 children in 1960 would have been diagnosed with autism. Today, this year, 100,000 children are going to be diagnosed with autism. It has grown to 1 in 36 children. Measles is still at 1 in 10,000. And you can listen to scientists telling you that it's been debunked, vaccines don't cause autism, except there's whistleblowers coming out all over the place, including Dr. William Thompson from the CDC. Dr. Andrew Zimmerman was a leading neurologist working for the government. He's come out and said there is a mechanism by which vaccines cause autism. The science is crumbling around this point, and that's why they're trying to shut us up.
I disagree, but
well, let's talk the facts.
That's not what you're on. That's not what we put you on for. I'm not going to get into I'm not going to get into the middle of it. If people want to find the facts, they know where you are. I am here to say that freedom of speech. You have the right to say these things. You have the right to not have your voice silenced. You have the right to do it, and it is important for a civil society, if we are to be thinking human beings, to have access to the views that we don't necessarily like or agree with. We must be able to access those. And that is the real issue here for me, is Del Bigtree should not be silenced. You should not be silenced. And you silence this guy because, well, that's crazy talk. Well, once they get rid of the ones you think are crazy, who's next? You eventually lose your own ability to speak. And it is real and it is happening. We must stand against anything that goes against individual liberty, because that is truly what made America great. Del, thank you so much. God bless. You can find Del Bigtree at icandecide.org. Took a great restraint from Stu. Great restraint from Stu, because
it's our commercial this half hour, Glenn. Do we have anything?
You really are not gonna you're not gonna present the other side.
No.
All right. All right. My Patriot Supply. When an emergency strikes, what's your first impulse? Fast thinking.
Right. That's what it's supposed to be. That's why it's why it exists.
And fast thinking can lead to chaos, especially if everybody is fast thinking. Go to the grocery store quick. Freak out quick. Here's the slow thinking. You know emergency is going to happen. You know at some point something is going to happen in your life where there's going to be a disruption, whether it's for a day or 3 days, a week. You know there's going to be a snowstorm or something. Please have a 3-day supply of emergency food ready for your whole family, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So when everybody else is freaking out, you're not. When you're freaking out, you don't make good decisions. Now you're not freaking out. Make the decision to prepare so you don't freak out. Preparewithglenn.com. Go in and order the food kits, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They'll ship the kits discreetly to your door. Do it now at preparewithglenn.com. This is the final week for a limited time. Where you can get kits that are exclusively priced for you on their two most popular emergency food kits. So go there now. My Patriot Supply is going to ship at preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm really saddened by the announcement with Alex Trebek. You're not a fan of Alex Trebek?
Oh, I think he's great. I mean, I can't say that I watch Jeopardy all that often.
Used to watch it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, but it's still, seems like a great guy. Everything I've ever heard about him.
Yeah. I used to, when I lived out west, when I was younger, I used to watch, my wife and I would watch Jeopardy every night. What she didn't know is that I would be writing with somebody in New York. And so while we were writing for the next day, he'd just give me all the answers for Jeopardy. And so he'd just go, oh, by the way, on Jeopardy, this question's coming up. Here's the answer. And I just write it down. And then a couple hours later, when Jeopardy would come on in my time zone, I seemed like a genius. Never told her.
This is in Groundhog Day, wasn't it?
No, not Jeopardy. Was it in Jeopardy?
No. In Groundhog Day? I think it was. Yeah, and he knew all the answers. Of course, that was a little bit of a different situation.
Yeah.
But you kind of perfected that in advance.
No, it's good. And, you know, so if you know somebody in a time zone, different time zone that's ahead of you, make sure you call them every day, talk about whatever it is, and just get a few of the answers to Jeopardy, and you'll look like a genius. And then, strangely, your marriage will break up, and it'll be miserable and horrible. And okay, so don't take any of this advice. We just wish Alex Trebek all of the best. Our thoughts and prayers are with Alex Trebek.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Patriot Mobile is our sponsor. Patriot Mobile is this great service that asks you to switch over to Patriot Mobile, your phone service. You're going to get the same coverage because everybody's using the same towers. What you're not going to get is your money going to these companies and then they spend that with La Raza or Planned Parenthood. You're giving it to Patriot Mobile. Same great coverage, except when they take their money, they actually invested in things like the NRA and anti-abortion movements. You're going to get a lower cost. You're going to get a company that believes in the same things that you do. It is right now 1-800-A-PATRIOT. 800-A-PATRIOT. Sign up.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So the Democrats just cannot decide whether they have a problem with anti-Semitism or not. Wow. We're going to talk about that, and we have a guy who has also just signed a loyalty pledge. And who doesn't like loyalty pledges? Bernie Sanders joins us in just a moment. Stand by, 60 seconds away. First, let me tell you about Mercury Real Estate.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The economy is very fragile right now. The mortgage industry, I worry about a great deal. I worry about people who have adjustable mortgages. If you have an adjustable mortgage, you've got to change it. Now, the housing market's been stabilized. If you're renting, now is a good time to buy a house because the price of rentals has gone up 5% in the last year. I think that's going to skyrocket because there's going to be a lot of people that just can't afford their house because they got into a house that was too big for them. Now is the time to sell or buy your home. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. These are the people that are in your area that are the right real estate agent, that have a great track record, that have the same values and principles. They listen to this program. They've all been hand vetted by my team, and they all have to fit into three different categories for us to be able to recommend them to you. They have to have the experience. They have to have the knowledge of your area. They have to have an advertising campaign where they're not advertising them. They have a campaign to advertise your home to make sure that your home sells for the most amount of money and the fastest possible. These are really good people. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com. We are fortunate to once again have Bernie Sanders stopping by.
Hello, Glenn.
How are you,
Bernie? I'm very well. I'm very strapping, feeling virile, young, yeah. Good, energized by the campaign and the election and the goodwill of the American people.
Right. Now, you just signed a loyalty pledge, which means that what?
I signed a loyalty pledge saying that in the unlikely event that I lose the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
If I should lose the Democratic primary, I will not run as an independent. Mm-hmm. I will stay as a Democrat, and I've done that because I'm so confident that I will win. And if not, I will win in the next election or the next one. And I have decided also to pledge to keep running for president until at least 2072.
All right. Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you are getting up there in getting a little long in the tooth.
My goal, Glenn, and I think the American people would agree with me, my goal is to have the same age as all of the other entrants to the presidential race combined. And so I am rapidly approaching that, and I believe that will be peak Bernie.
Okay, so now you are actually ahead. Am I not? Am I mistaken on that?
I am winning in the polls. That's
true.
You're
winning in the polls right now.
Of the people that have announced.
Of the people that are announced, but one of the people that looks like he's going to announce and is beating you is Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, yes. Joe Biden, is the embodiment, Glenn, of the establishment, of an establishment that props up the top 1% of the top 1% of the top 1%. Also, he has hair plugs. And that man is corrupt, except when he is running against a Republican, in which case he is a valiant hero that I support and my good friend.
Okay. So he is your good friend.
He is a quantum friend.
Right.
He is both a good friend when he is running against a Republican, but also a terrible person when running against Democrats.
Right. Okay.
Quantum state, Glenn. I'm capable of these things.
Okay. All right. So,
science.
And he's... I mean, he's getting up there in years as well.
In my opinion, he is wildly inexperienced and too young to become president. He barely knows about football, about politics. He's just going around smelling people's collarbones. That's what he does.
He barely knows about football.
I know, Glenn. I'm actually, in addition to running for president, I'm writing a book on football.
Are you?
And I've told that you are not a huge football fan. May I explain the game to you?
Sure, I guess. Yeah.
So there's a big field. Mm-hmm. It's reminiscent of the work and toil of the American agricultural sector done by good populists in the middle of the country. Mm-hmm. And there are two teams. Do you know who the two teams are, Glenn? The players and the owners. Those are the teams. There are two teams, the players and the owners and all the people in the stands that are being lied to by thieving monsters that own the teams. And once I'm president... they will get their due. I am telling you that right now.
Well, wait. First of all, that team is not on the field.
No, it's not on the field team. Right. It's a shadowy team.
It's a shadowy team
that controls the things. And they've made it so it's a slanted field. When you look at a football field, you're like, well, that's self-explanatory. It's a putting green with white lines. I get this, right? No, it's a slanted field. It's a slant because you think, I'm going to kick the ball harder. They'll give me more balls. That's how football works. No, you don't get more balls. You kick as hard as you want. The balls go to the rich people. And that's football.
All right. I don't know anything about football, but I don't think that makes any sense at all.
That I look it up. Look it up. That is, those are the rules of football. If you actually look into it.
All right. Okay. Well, Bernie, it's been educational.
Thank you. And Glenn, on that note, I would like to remind you that I have several policies that I think your listeners would get behind. First and foremost, I think everyone agrees that Medicare for All would be a very popular policy for everyone on Earth. And I remain dedicated to Medicare for All, for everyone on Earth. But on top of that, I believe that education is a priority in the United States. It is not a luxury. It is a right. You have a right to education. Mm-hmm. You have a right to any education, anytime, however much you want, for however long you want.
And so also, I could go into college today.
You could. Well, Glenn, in your case, you would have to go into college today.
I would have to go into college.
Yes, I believe that college should be voluntary or obligatory. And I will, in your case, I think that there are certain things you would like. It would benefit you to know them.
So wait a minute. So would I go to like Harvard or Yale or, you know, someplace like that? Or
Harvard and Yale will be destroyed under my plan. They are pupa engorged centers of breeding for the 1%. No more of them.
No more of them.
Everything's community college. Everything will be divided. So Harvard will be 8 community colleges. And yes, you would be locked in one of those until you came to your senses.
Okay. Wait a minute. So it's like a re-education. It's not
sort of. Yes, you would be reading sort of. A lot of Keynes, and you would be forced to wear a Che Guevara T-shirt.
Okay. All right. Okay, Bernie, best of luck to you, and I mean that. Thank you. I appreciate it. Bernie Sanders on the program once again. Stu, let me bring back to the thing that you talked about earlier about emotions sucking.
Yes. Basically, I believe much of the problem many of the problems that we have in this country are based on the idea that we let emotion and feelings overwhelm, you know, facts and rational argument. Mm-hmm. And you brought up a great point about how the border is argued, in which people will remember the stories about the border, and that will help move them to the correct policy. And then you give them the facts afterwards. And I agree with your approach. I think it is necessary to do. I'm just complaining about the fact that it's necessary to do. Like, I just think that, you know, it's a human failing.
No, it's not.
It is. It feelings suck. In many
feelings
ways,
are great,
and they're great for certain things, just not for the things we apply them to in the United States. Which is, you know, oh well, I heard the story about a poor person in some region, and they can't get help, and therefore capitalism is evil, right? Like, we take this and we misapply feelings. Feelings are great for, as you kind of mentioned, theater. Right, go to the theater. Loving your wife and family.
No, but
great.
See, this is what I would see. This is one of the reasons why we continually lose. See, what they do is the left presents something that makes you feel. Mm-hmm. Then they immediately tie that to a solution, which is usually socialism and is wrong.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
What
agreed.
We do is we come out with the solution. Well, think of America being 80% woman.
Okay.
Sometimes they just want you to listen and not solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what men do is you'll come home and she's like, I just don't feel like I have time to do everything and the kids. And then you immediately step in and go, honey, it's not that. I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. And then
they will maximize time by cutting out these three activities that you don't actually need. And I can help you with these other two and we can assign these to this person and everything will be fine.
That's not what she wants.
It does not work.
It does not work.
No.
And that's what conservatives are doing to the country. We are sitting down and we're saying, and I'm not saying that those solutions are wrong and that we should present those solutions. But sometimes you just have to let it run its course. Sometimes you have to validate it. Sometimes you have to be leading the way. You know what? I understand how you feel. Look at this. And have you even thought of this? Boy, I've been watching you and it's even more screwed up than you think. You have to enter into the heart of people first.
Everything you're saying is true. I just think it's terrible that it's true.
No, but it's not. No, it's not.
Yes, you shouldn't need some emotional storyline.
Why are we in tribes right now? Why are we so divided and we cannot listen to each other?
Because we are overly emotional and it takes over all the rest of the points that are being made.
Yes.
No, nobody listens.
We all feel that we are under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of man's survival as a species, we have put ourselves into tribes. And anybody who comes into our tribe that is a problem, has a problem with the tribe and starts to divide us, we immediately all regroup and get that person out of our tribe. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's just from thousands and thousands of years of humanity. That's a good thing. But if it's not balanced, it's a bad thing. So if we are all reason, you know who you turn into? Eugenicists.
I totally disagree with that.
All reason. Mm-hmm. All reason. No feeling.
That's not true at all. Reason and principle have to be put together. You have principle. You don't just turn people lose their individual rights.
Well, wait. Mm-hmm. We're not giving that opportunity with emotions, because I'd say to you, well, no, emotions with principles. I'm just saying the raw reason, the raw emotion. Bad.
Yeah, I mean, but the reasoning behind eugenics was horrible, and it was almost exclusively driven by emotion.
Yeah,
it was driven by, I don't like black people,
correct.
I don't like Jews,
correct. But if you could make a case on some really bad things by saying, look, socialists do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Look, we're doing it right now with vaccines. Shut people up and force everybody to take this vaccine, because vaccines are not dangerous. They're just not dangerous. So anybody who is slowing this down is actually harming society. Well, you know how that ends, and I know how that ends. You start chipping away at man's right, especially man's right to control his own body. That's a no-go zone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's all reasonable to think that. It is one of those things that you're like, well, I mean, we're struggling with it because I don't want to give away man's rights, but we do have a social contract with each other, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. So it just goes down that road. You have to have both of them, but they have to be balanced. You can't have just fear and no facts.
Right. We certainly can't have fear and no facts. That's a terrible combination.
Correct.
I think we could, on the overwhelming majority of cases, you can have facts with no fear. You
yes.
can just, it's just,
well, I don't know about the overwhelming.
At least not a lot of fear. When you say balance, I think the issue is there a role in our lives for fear? Yes.
And I don't want to do it just fear.
No, yeah.
Heart, emotion.
Whatever. Yeah,
emotion.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of cases where you have real sympathy for a victim of something. Like, we'll give it with a step back for a second and think about terrible mass shootings. Every single one of the worst days of my life, and this shows how tough my life has been. But I was reading about the Newtown thing several years after it happened, after the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It is like gut wrenching to mm-hmm. read. It is completely pointless. There wasn't even like the stupid some worldview being advanced. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. was just some guy doing something with no reason, and these are little children, and it is. It is impossible to not think about that story. And this is, from my home state. It connects very intensely to me. However, 0% of gun regulation should be made upon that because of that emotion. 0%. Not 10%. 0%. Because you can't.
Not disagreeing.
That's not how you make policy.
Not disagreeing.
That's not how you form a society. You have the principle is going to be much more important there. And I understand that, the left would say, well, that's the only way to get people to move.
No,
I'm not even saying that all the time.
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that it is unreasonable to say we are two people. Let me break for 1 minute and then come back. And I want to use the Newtown thing as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you just said is really important, but not about gun control. Let me give it to you in a second. First, let me tell you about Norton. Leading social media company is going to end its market research program, actively taking its VPN app off of the app stores. By the way, speaking of, companies that should be unnamed, did you see Facebook also said they're going to concentrate on privacy?
Yeah, I saw that. They're going to make all the messages
Yeah.
private now
and encrypted on both ends, so nobody will know. And they're gonna stop their
I'll tell you this, I trust him immediately. My emotions are telling me he seems trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna go with whatever he says.
Norton Secure VPN. It's a virtual private network and it encrypts your connections, password protected, public Wi-Fi. All of the information that you send and receive while you're online is safe from cyber criminals. Norton Secure VPN. It encrypts the information sent and received from your laptop or your mobile device. Information like browsing activity, app usage, even your location. I'm telling you right now, people are like, what's a VPN? Everybody's going to have one in 2 years. Everybody will have something like a VPN in 2 years. The question is, who are you going to get it from? Who do you trust? Norton. Norton has been keeping us secure for how many years? Norton is one of the leading names of trust on security in a connected world. Get Norton Secure VPN as soon as you can. Do it now. Norton.com/VPN. Prices start for your protection at $3.33 a month with the annual subscription. That is well worth it. It's easy to use. It's Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID. What would you say one of our biggest problems is socially right now? What's missing in our debates with one another? It's going to be a hard one to answer. I would suggest empathy.
I mean, this shows where we are. And this, I would suggest reason.
Okay. I would suggest empathy because we're all so locked into our position because we all feel under attack that I'm not going to take the time. I don't care what your story is because you won't listen to my story. you won't even listen to my pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And your policies, your things you're talking about, the people you support are causing my pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have natural empathy. And when we are at our best, we say what our parents used to say in America. You know, you don't know what's going on in their life. Don't judge them. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, everybody's different. We're not like that anymore because we are lacking empathy. So empathy is natural and it is good. When you hear about the shootings, the Newtown shootings, it is good for us to take the time and breathe. Now, this is not what the left does. Take the time and breathe and grieve. That's normal, rational, and has to be done. We have to empathize with the others, with the people that have been killed. What happens is people immediately start to use that because when you're in that state, you are very vulnerable. You don't make any good decisions when you are mourning, when you're really sad, really upset. You just never make any good decisions. And so people know, left or right, usually on the left, in my opinion, that we can attack right now. The only time they ever really talk about real gun control is right as the country is still mourning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You would push those people out of your way if that was your funeral. You would say, get out of here. Not an appropriate time. So what we do is we almost come prepared for that argument. And logic tells us we should come prepared because that's exactly what they're going to do. But we look like we don't have any empathy because we immediately countercharge with facts, where instead we should do what they do when they're on the losing side, which is say, this is so inappropriate. There are dead children. We need to stay engaged in the feeling part to be able then to roll it into the at the appropriate time, the facts. We're missing the obvious place to engage people, and that is with heart. You have to start there for 70% of the people.
And there's a lot to say, I think, about all of this. But again, I think this my distinction stands here, which is I am admitting the reality that you are right.
Yes.
You are right. If you do not engage people with their heart, they will not listen to any of your other arguments. That's just a human failing, though. The fact that these things get overwhelmed by emotion and people can't think, that is a problem with us that I wish and I hope someday gets cured. I hope someday we figure out how not to do that.
And that's the only thing I have to disagree with you on.
I just, no! We just agreed!
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Never argue with the host. He always knows when the commercial is coming. ZipRecruiter. Hiring is a challenging thing to do, and it's time-consuming unless you do it the smart way. And a smart way to hire is to use ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. I want you to try ZipRecruiter.com/Beck for free. Do it right now. They will send your job to over 100 of the world's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. They have powerful matching technology that scans thousands of resumes to find the right people with the right experience, and then they invite them to apply to your job. As the applicants come in, then ZipRecruiter analyzes each one of those and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss the great match. Hire the right person and hire them quickly. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
As Glenn points out, never argue with the host of a show because he knows when the commercial is coming up. But more specifically, don't argue with the person with the 10 seconds of tease right before the real commercial is starting right now.
Well, wait a minute. You know, here's the thing. You're listening to the Glenn Beck program. If you just joined us, we've been having this conversation off and on now for the last 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And Stu and I are I think the prime example of my theory that I've been talking about. If you want to win an argument, you cannot delve into facts first. You must lead with heart, because most people connect to things like that. When you're just going out with a bunch of facts and figures, forget about it. Why is socialism popular? Because people aren't thinking. They're mm-hmm. feeling. Mm-hmm. They're feeling. And it is natural and good to see things in justice and say, this is horrible. This is horrible.
Because it spurs you to action.
Correct.
Right.
And it is good and right to feel something when you see someone suffering. Now, what you do with that, you know, right now, what you're doing is somebody should do something.
No.
You should do something.
Right. But you're saying it's good. You say it's natural and good. It's definitely natural. I will give you that. Is it good? Why is it good? It's good because what you're saying is it spurs people to action, to actually care about these things and do something about it.
I just wish
you didn't need that prompt, because I agree with you. That is how people are. You know, the churches talk about this sometimes. It's like, okay, well, you know, are you a charitable person? Well, who's a charitable person? The person who walks up to a homeless person, feels empathy, feels a story, gives them money and walks away, I did something good today. Or the person who every single week gives money because they have a plan and have given money, and it's helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homeless people because they've actually made a decision to do something over a long period of time.
Okay. You're missing one category. I'd like to add a third.
Sure.
Or is the person charitable that says, you know, this is horrible, that homeless person, you know, the government should do something. And that's why I'm for higher taxes.
Right, right.
Okay, I would say that was the least effective. Mm-hmm. I think both of the others are good.
They can both be good.
Right.
You know, I think they work at some level. You could argue that they work in tandem. But the story, however, should, if it inspires people to action, that's why people do it. And you're completely right. People need it. I just wish they didn't need it. I just wish you could say, like, okay, you know, here's a situation. We know this is a bad situation. How do we act in the most rational way possible to make that decision better? And I think it's, you know, you described a conversation earlier where you said, you know, you're talking about empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, one person, how do we feel when we're in these conversations? Well, we feel like we're under attack. We're not hearing each other. One person says, well, you're always coming after me and you're not hearing me. And then you said the other thing, the empathy would bring you to a point where you'd say, look, wait a minute. Well, we don't know how that person feels. Let's step back and think about it for a second. And we don't know how that person feels.
Let me listen to you.
I would argue what you're saying, yeah, the second thing is actually the rational side. The emotion and the feelings are the thing making you go, darn it, I'm mad, I don't want to hear you. The rational side is the person stepping in and saying, wait a minute, we don't know what they're going through. Let's think about the potential. This happens all the time with my wife. Every time someone parks too close to her, she wants to leave a nasty note on their windshield, and she gets all pissed off and she starts texting me and she sends me pictures of how badly they parked, blah, 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 blah. And to me, there's I always, of course, discourage this for multiple reasons. But one of which is, you know, look, you really don't know what's happening with them, what happened. Maybe the person who was there before you parked terribly. Maybe that you put this on their windshield, they see you do it, and they pull out a gun and shoot you. There's 100 different reasons mm-hmm. to not put that thing out there, mm-hmm. and it does no good to put it on the windshield. Mm-hmm. At no point does this person say, you know what? 6 months ago when that I saw that note, and that makes me, I'm going to park a lot more carefully now. Mm-hmm. There's no rational outcome to that. It just makes you feel good in that moment. Mm-hmm. And those are the types of things that we do, mm-hmm. I think, in policy that really cause us problems. We act out of fear. We act out of emotion. And politicians in Washington know exactly what you're talking about, which is if we can get them lit up with an emotional story, we can do the things we want to do.
Correct.
I know you're not using it for that purpose,
right,
but they do.
I know.
And that's a problem.
I know. And I'm not, I'm saying that we have to connect people on an emotional level. Why did I miss Donald Trump? Why did I miss so many people that listen to me for years mm-hmm. going for Donald Trump because I was thinking about everything logically on I'm worried about the next one. What happens in 2020? Mm-hmm. If this guy doesn't roll, the pendulum is going to swing and you're going to have even a more out of control guy than you had with Barack Obama. Well, that's kind of what's happening. But nobody was there at that time. They were feeling under attack.
Right.
And they needed somebody to stand up for them. And that's what they needed at the time. Now, let me go back to the theater thing where I said emotions on the stage. Mm-hmm. Okay. That moves an audience. And that's generally left. Generally right is just methodical thinking. Mm-hmm. Okay. You need both. What I'm saying is you need both. You have to feel, and then you have to stop and look at the facts. That's where we would win, because we always say we have the facts. Yes, but we don't tell the story. So we have to have the story and the feeling first, because that's where people are.
No, you're right. That is where they are. And to be effective, you are completely right. That's how you do it. But it's like,
let me give you this.
There's one time I want to go to the gym in my life, and it's like right after Thanksgiving, because I feel such like a fat lump. Mm-hmm. I feel so disgusting. And then I drag myself to the gym for a week. Mm-hmm. Well, the good thing here, I feel like you're arguing, well, yeah, but you have to eat the huge meal to go to the gym. So we have to feed them the 9 pieces of pie or they'll never go to the gym. And I say, you're right, but we should just go to the gym.
What I'm saying to you is, let me give you 2 examples. Let me see if I can use it off of your example with going to the gym. What I'm saying is,
this is very difficult territory because we do not understand what we're talking about when the gym is in the
conversation. I know. So we're going to get the gym thing wrong. But what I'm saying is, no. Stu, people are going to feel like fat pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It would be nice if people didn't feel like fat pigs, but they're going to.
Right.
So if I'm just talking about the price of my gym,
yes,
I'm going to miss it.
It's not going to be effective.
But if I'm like, hey, you feeling like I feel, big fat fatty?
Mm-hmm.
We got a deal for you. Come on in.
Right. And I think that this is exactly, I keep coming back to this, but like what you just said, it would be nice if they just went to the gym. That's my point. It would be nice if we didn't need to do that because people looked at things rationally. But they don't. Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, is completely about this. It is how people actually work.
Correct.
In reality.
So what I'm saying to you, let me give my last example, is this entire hour has been a perfect example of what I'm talking about. This show is, I'm the guy who's like, you know, I really think that Zuckerberg, I think he really wants to be a good guy. I'm giving him the benefit. And you're like, can we look at the facts?
Okay. Right.
It's good to have both. It's good to have both.
I think, yes. I think life, it's great to have both in life.
Yes.
In policy, in political arguments, not so much. However, I would say it's nice that you've realized that both of us put together is a rational human being,
yes.
Like a complete human
yes.
being.
Yes, without the other, right. we're a horrible cyclops. I think.
Yes,
is that 3 eyes or 1 eye?
That's cyclops is 1 eye.
1 eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're a horrible cyclops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll have to work that one out. We need another.
We don't
need
know
a third
gyms
person.
And we don't know Cyclops.
We need a third person here, and then we'll be a complete individual. All right. Sponsor this half hour is LifeLock. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and you can miss certain identity threats if you're monitoring only your credit. That's why there's LifeLock. 127 million records have been stolen from 8 companies. They were put up for sale on the dark web for the equivalent of $14,500 in Bitcoin. That's craziness. Mm. It's only half the country. the dark web, what they do then, they sell that, and then somebody else is selling another part, and all of a sudden they can assemble your whole history. They can get your passwords, your social security number, your home, everything. This is why LifeLock exists, because nobody else is watching for this stuff. When they catch it, if somebody has opened something or is moving on something, they have somebody in-house here in America that takes care of all of it for you. It's LifeLock. So well worth it. LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck and you're going to save 10% off your first year. It's LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, on tomorrow's program, I think I'm going to write the story of Ocasio-Cortez's mother. You know, a lot of people saw that story and, you know, and what they took away from it. What did you take away from it, Stu?
Well, the big takeaway was that she moved to Florida to avoid taxes, which was very humorous considering, you know, her daughter just wants to raise them on everybody.
Right. That's what I took, too. However, in reading that story, you'll have great empathy and respect for her mother. And there is a way to make this point in a way that would be effective to people who feel it. Because anybody on the left, when they read that story, they're not going to take away the taxes thing. They're going to say, finally, she's got a break.
Right.
Finally, the system
works so hard to raise this amazing daughter, and now she finally gets a break from the evil capitalist system.
So tomorrow, I'm going to tell you the story based on just the story that's been released. I'll tell you that story, and then I'll make the case for capitalism using emotional triggers, if you will, and facts to show you how to argue and how to see and empathize with the pain people are in and the pain people feel. There is a moral case for capitalism.
It's a great one.
It's a great moral case for capitalism. And there is a great moral case against socialism. And we are going to be doing, in 10 years, 5 years, we're going to be doing one or the other. We're either still going to be free market and we'll clean up some of the issues that we have, or we are going to be state-run. And it's a moral case. Mm-hmm. And the socialists are making a moral case of it right now without any of the facts. And we are making a fact-driven case without any of the emotion.
Right.
We will lose.
Right. And I the whole hour has been basically about this, where I think you're right. I mean, I am completely arguing with you on what I think the way the world should be, not the way the world is. The way the world is what you're talking about. And
perception is reality.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the world should be.
Let me give you a great example, I think, of story versus fact argument that's happened very recently and shows where this can go. It's Brett Kavanaugh.
Yes.
You know, they had a story. This woman, this great achieving woman who came in and was abused by this frat boy guy and did all these terrible things to her. And what we said is, wait a minute. When? Where? Was anyone around? Do you have any witnesses? We have a process here. Have you even attempted to come up with one person who can actually corroborate that the party even occurred?
Actually, not true. We won because we didn't do that first. First, the GOP, for the first time, did something right.
Mm-hmm.
First, they said, oh my gosh, that is horrible if that's true. And we certainly don't want anything to do with him if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So please, come in and talk to us. All right, you're not going to talk to us. Okay, we're going to get this woman because we want to make sure you're comfortable and she does this for a living. And we just, boy, we are so sorry. Remember how she was approaching this?
Yeah.
So sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the facts came out and started pulling the holes in it, then after that emotion, after that hug, then Lindsey Graham said, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And capitalized on the emotion of an injustice. They were putting up an emotion of an injustice. We listened to that. You started using reason, and that poked holes and made this injustice that they were fighting for an injustice that was even bigger. Right. We won because we played the story right.
And I think that's exactly the point of this, right? Like that, those two things, to win arguments in the United States of America, and really anybody, any human being, you have to have those two elements. I mean, you know, to separate
facts and story, and we're the only ones that have the facts right.
Yeah, you keep saying heart, and I think story's better because, I mean, story, I think, also includes comedy.
Does.
It includes just storytelling where you're feeling, not necessarily pulling on your heartstrings, but getting you immersed in that moment so you actually get pulled in enough to care about it, and then you actually care about the facts. I think the comedy is the same thing. If you can, John Oliver does this well for the left, which is he does a horribly incorrect rant about net neutrality for 20 minutes that, I mean, 20 minutes of net neutrality talk is legitimately the recipe for suicide for most people. Mm-hmm. But he makes it funny. He keeps you there with the funny. It's the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
My gosh.
It is a way, it is a successful way to win arguments, for lack of a better way of saying that. I think it's not really about winning arguments, but about getting your point across and seeing if people will listen to your perspective. You do need those two things. You know, it goes to, you know, you go up to somebody, you're looking for a date, you're in a bar, the person across the bar may have the greatest personality in the entire universe, but if you're not attracted to them, you never find out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things working together, you're right, Republicans do not do that enough. I mean, you know, it only works when you pair them together.
And when the economy, and it will eventually, hopefully not before 2020, but it will eventually go into recession and it could be a hard crash. That's when emotions will be really high and we better be good at story and facts.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.